interesting because I want the whiteboard, but I don't want the whiteboard. The problem is that the whiteboard is, it can help in illustrating some things, but it can be a distraction in all the other things. And I only have a small portion where I really want the whiteboard right now. And so I'm not sure if I'm going to use it or not. If I do, I'll just go up and grab it. But turn with me to 2 Timothy. Paul's second letter that he wrote to Timothy, his student. And I want to go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I'll reread the first 12 verses. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God, the Father and Christ. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which first dwelt in your mother, your grandmother Lois, and your mother Eunice, I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him until that day. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that we can know you, we can know who we believe in, and we can be persuaded that you are able to keep everything that we have, that we've committed to you. And may you be praised in all things. May you help these stammering lips today. And may it be the word of God that comes forth. May the ears hear purely. Amen. Amen. I want to talk to you today about calling. That's it. So if you have your title page, you put calling, one word. And I want to look at verse 9, which says, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. So, at the end of this portion, we have that quite a famous piece, if you were in church for any length of time, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed to him until that day. And When you hear that, you know, when I sang it as a kid, it was one of my favorite hymns growing up, just because it was almost like a tongue twister, because I had no idea what I was reading, what I was singing, until I actually started to look into it and see that I'm committing myself to him. I know whom I've believed in. I know God the Father. I know Jesus. And I trust and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep everything that I've committed, everything that I've believed in about him, he is able to keep until that day. How long is that day? Well, that day is when you end up meeting him and everything is complete in him. He is able to keep everything that we have committed to him. And we need to believe in that. And it's important. But what are we believing in? Last week we talked about evangelism. What does evangelism mean? And we talked about how a lot of people go out and they start to try to condemn the world in order to win them over. But God says that it's the love of God, the goodness of God, that draws them to repentance. So I was just reading today and I saw a quote that said that the Holy Spirit doesn't convict of sin. And then it was that this person who said that was a heretic because they said that the Holy Spirit doesn't convict of sin. And I was looking at that going, what is the point here? And then I read on and they were quoting the fact that the Holy Spirit convicts of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. So how are you supposed to go out and preach evangelism? And when I say not to preach about conviction of sin and judgment, but then you have to read into it. And I could take you there, but it's a whole sermon in itself. But it says that the Holy Spirit convicts people of sin because they don't believe in Jesus. That's why he convicts them of sin. He convicts them of righteousness because they don't know the Father. That might not be the right one. You have to read into this. He does convict. The Holy Spirit comes and convicts us of sin before we believed in Jesus. After we believe in Jesus, he doesn't convict us anymore of sin. He leads us in righteousness. Do you see the difference? Being convicted of sin or leading in righteousness. He leads us to do the right things. And that's how we know it. Because we know the Father, because we know Jesus, we go into this. But that's all about last week's sermon. What we were called to is what's important. What are you called to do? What are you called for? What has he called you? Because it says he has saved us and called us with a holy calling. A holy calling. Oh, goodness sakes, that means we have to be holy in regards to this calling that I've been called on. And so they look at it to almost the degree that only those who are in this position here, preaching the word of God, are under a holy calling. But that's not the case. Every single believer is under a holy calling, and I'm going to show that to you today. So let's look at that word holy. The word holy in Greek is hagios. You don't have to write that down, but what it means is separated unto. It actually can be looked at as exclusive, that it's an exclusive. So when you are separated unto, you are an exclusive. It's an exclusive club, an exclusive thing that has happened. And calling is the word klesis. Now, klesis in Greek is meaning an invitation. It's like, hey, come over here. That's an invitation. And so it's an exclusive invitation that we've been given. And so he has saved us and invited us with an exclusive invitation to join him. To join him in what he's doing. What is he doing? Well, he's doing a lot of things. I'll take us over to Ephesians chapter 1. No, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. And this one, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, that's Paul talking, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. So we are all called, we are all invited with an exclusive invitation, and we're supposed to walk worthy of that invitation, to that which we are called. And what are we called to? This is an important thing to know. What is your calling? That's our first point. What is your calling? First and foremost, your calling is as a child of God. I want to take you to Psalm 2. Your calling as a child of God. So here, verses 7 and 8 in Psalm 2. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. So let's just stop right there. So on the day that you were saved, you became a child of God. And on that day, you could declare the decree, the Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. On your day of salvation, you have become begotten of the Father, and you are a child of God. That is your first calling, to be a child of God. But let's go on to verse 8. He says, you are my son, today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, and the ends of the earth for your possession. What is he saying there? He's saying, what you need to do in your election, in your, I went ahead of myself, in your calling, in your invitation that he has given you, now you can turn to him and say, okay, I need to ask you something. Can I have the nations for an inheritance? You ask him that. You now have that permission. Why? Because you are a son of God. He will give it to you as an inheritance. Kind of intriguing, isn't it? I can go into so many different messages with this message, and I have to keep myself down to a minimum of 4 hours. Sorry. Yeah, that's not going to happen. I know. So, my brain is going so many different places. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. It says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. So he has a calling that's upon us. And the hope, what is hope? Hope is an expectation that something's going to happen. It's a hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? What is the inheritance that you receive because of your calling? I just read it. The nations. The nations. Because I am his son, I now ask of me and I will give you the nations as an inheritance. The riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints is that we have, as a child of God, we are supposed to go find more children of God. And we bring the nations to God. Now, that doesn't mean that you need to go off into Africa, or you need to go to India, or you need to go to Toronto. That means you have a world that you are involved in. And there are people there that you need to reach, because they are part of nations. You are part of nations. There are people within your world, and that's what we talked about last week, was that evangelism thing. But we are to be called as a child of God, that we are called into that. He has invited everyone to be a child of God. Are you walking in that calling? Are you walking in a way that is worthy of that calling? Do you recognize that it's an exclusive calling? But what does that mean? He has invited everyone. So what is the holy calling? The holy calling is the exclusiveness, is everyone that has accepted it. He has called everyone. It says, many are called, but few are chosen. So I'm going to get ahead of myself again. That chosen word is elected. The elected ones. And when we look into election, because that's through the whole Bible, especially in the King James and the New King James, the elections, the election, the elect, and they look at it being as divine election, that we are chosen by God. But that actually is a bracket. The word eklego means election. It means to choose. It's a choice. It's an option. It's you were chosen, but in order to be chosen, you have to choose to be chosen. Do you understand that part? So to be a part of the elect, I have to choose to accept his invitation. Because many are called, but few are chosen. And it has a lot to do with God and a lot to do with us. It's not God has chosen us, and so he has chosen who's going to heaven and who's going to hell, and you can't do anything about it. Because there are some people that believe that. But it's an actual thing of God having a choice. He has elected, he has chosen, he has called everyone. Because he says, I am willing that none should perish, but that all should attain eternal life. But in order for us to attain eternal life, we have to choose him. So many are called, many are invited, but very few actually choose to come in. So that really brings a lot of light into the end of Matthew, where Jesus talks about that. He talks about all the people that were chosen and that were, he chooses the sheep and throws away the goats. But by some supernatural miraculousness, those goats could have changed into sheep and been chosen as well. Why? Because they choose it. He's just using an illustration of sheep and goats. Are you catching me? I feel like I'm all in left, center, and right field. But there's this calling. So, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are called out of darkness into his marvelous light. How do we move from the darkness to the light? We follow the calling. We follow the calling. Because we all could have stayed in darkness, but we didn't. Why? Because we heard the calling and we decided to accept the calling. And even that word chosen that's at the top, but you are a chosen generation. Again, the election, the elected, those who are chosen or those who have chosen. Do you see the difference there? Those who are chosen or those who have chosen. And we are, it is one and the same. It's both. It's the same word, eklektos. We are elected because we have chosen to be elected. Oy, my brain is going so many places. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Did I read this one already? Yes, because that was the start. Why am I reading it again? I don't know, because it's in my notes. God has saved us and invited us with a holy invitation, an exclusive invitation. So the invitation is there for us to choose. Just last week, I received a wedding invitation. In order for me to be part of the chosen ones that have gone to the wedding, I have to choose to be chosen. Do you see what I'm saying? I was chosen out of a group of people that to say, hey, would you like to come? But then I have to choose to go. I hope this is really catching on because, yeah, we're going on. Secondly, about your calling. This is really deep. You are called to be you. That's point two. You are called to be you. And you are called particularly with an exclusive invitation to be you. So ask God to reveal who you are so you can be the best you to your world. Because you can only be you. You are the best you that you can be. Because I cannot be you. You cannot be me. So you are called to be you. And you are different than me. I've been called as the pastor of this church. So here I am. Acting and under being the pastor of your church. You are called to be here at this church. You choose for me to be your pastor. I've chosen to be your pastor. And we are chosen for a particular reason. Why? I was chosen because I am me. You are chosen because you are you. Only you can be you to your world. Because if I all of a sudden started to walk in Murray's shoes, I would fail as Murray. Because I'm not Murray. That means, and this is where some people have difficulty, that means that the things that I'm telling you from up here, guess what? They're from my perspective. You have to determine if it's your perspective. I have no control over that. But in all of that, so we have, 60 people here? Maybe a few more? There's 60 different perspectives here. And some of them are extremely different. But we choose to be a part of it. In the world that today, there is over 8 billion people. Around 2 billion of them are Christians. Every one of those Christians has a different viewpoint in regards to the word. But we are all unified as a body. Why? Because we choose to be. In all of our differences, and I tell you, it's getting worse and worse what I'm seeing out there from Christians and how they are bashing other Christians because they see a different viewpoint. It's almost as bad as the political side of things. When you have people who are saying that I hate the gays and lesbians and that other group, all of them, because I don't support their beliefs. That's not true. I just don't believe the same they do. But I love them. So in the church, can I ask you, can Baptists and Pentecostals worship together? To some people, they can't. They will say they can, but when you get them into the same group, you'll start fighting. Can you worship when there's a new song? Can you worship when there's an old song? I see all you saying, oh, definitely, I sure can. And then you get home and you're saying, did you hear that song? Your love is like extravagant. I've never heard that song before. Why are we singing that song? Wow, that was slow. I mean, did you hear the bass player? He was... You see what I'm saying? Can you worship with others, even though there's a difference? Let me ask you, could you go to a punk Christian worship service? Alternative music worship service and worship? Can you go to a Vespers service at a Catholic church and worship? If you say, I can't because that's different than what I am, then you can't not worship. You cannot have unity with those Christians. Yet we are called to have unity with all Christians. But we are called to be different. Why? Because let me tell you a secret. There are people out there who believe everything that the Pentecostals say. So they should be able to go to a Pentecostal church. There are people out there who believe the way the Baptists do. So they should be able to go to a Baptist church. But if they also decide that they're going to go to a different church, they should be able to worship there too. But it all comes down to one thing. And it's your choice, your choice, your choice. Do I have to go around the whole room? Because I will. It's your choice. You have to choose to walk in a calling worthy of your calling. Your calling as a child of God, your calling to be you, is your choice. And you have to choose what you're going to do with it. I have no power over that. I have no power over the fact of whether you choose here or not every Sunday. And if you aren't here on a Sunday, I usually will notice, but I have no power over that. So do I need to find out the reason why you're not here or why you are here? Don't know. That's a hard thing to ask, because then I'm imposing me on you. I don't want to ever assume that you would impose yourself onto me, but then why am I asked to impose myself onto you? Well, I've been asked to be the pastor, so I need to rightly discern what is right, what is wrong, how the word is said, and I have to put my perspective on it, and then I speak that, but then you have to choose. Do you see how deep this can get? This is not a philosophy course. But this is the reality of where we are at. I choose to believe the way I do. You choose to believe the way you do. And I have to choose to accept you for who you are, including your beliefs. But it goes the other way too. Here's one thing that is difficult. We all have ideas of what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to do it. And so we have these plans that all of a sudden get devised in our head. And then we ask God to bless those plans. And I think it's better that we ask God to get rid of our plan and bless us so that we can be a part of His plan. Because otherwise, there's going to be problems. So we were talking today, and it was interesting how it worked, that Terrell and I were talking, or actually it was the whole worship team up here, and we were talking about unity. So let me ask you something. If I am truly following after the leading of the Holy Spirit, and you are truly following after the leading of the Holy Spirit, are we walking in unity? So what happens if the leading of the Holy Spirit that I'm following and the leading of the Holy Spirit that you're following is different? Are we walking in unity? Could it possibly be that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you about a different aspect of the plan than He is about talking to me about? Because let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit is the same everywhere around the world. Everywhere around the world. And so if we are truly following after the leading of the Holy Spirit, even in our drift differences, we're walking in unity. There, that's probably the deepest we're going to go till this moment. What you need to do is you need to grab hold of your invitation and run with it. What is your invitation? Well, first of all, it's to be a child of God. Secondly, it's to be you. And who are you to be? Well, you are supposed to be a piece of clay in the potter's hand. So I was talking to Rhonda just a little bit before service. It's amazing how these conversations come up and they all of a sudden fit so well in the sermon. And I said to her, I said, when I went to college, my calling was worship, was music. And I was going to be a music pastor. And I was going to lead worship. I was going to play piano till the end of time. That was my feeling when I got to college. But then when we moved to Calgary, I recognized that something was changing. And it was me. And so as a piece of clay, and never look at yourself as being a piece of pottery in the potter's hand. Because what is pottery? It's a finished product. A piece of clay is malleable. It is changeable. And so I cannot be all of a sudden thinking that I am this music pastor and I'm going to be forever, and then all of a sudden the potter says, let's change that. So whatever your position is in whatever field that you are in, are you open to change? Because, Jen, you are called to be an occupational therapist. You've known that since you were probably, I don't know, as old as you were when you knew that. Will that change? I don't know. Who knows? Who knows how it's going to be? Those of you who have moved here from Africa, and I have to look in two different directions this time. Did you think that you were going to ever move to Canada when you were young? But you were malleable to do so. I can tell you with absolute assurance that there's one person here who never thought they were ever going to live in Manning. And now he's been here for 16 and a half years. Are you malleable? It's not God's will that has changed just because we've moved places. It's us being clay in the potter's hand. You see how I'm talking? If you don't, well, I'm talking from here. Never mind. You have been called to be you. I have been called to be me. Grab hold of your exclusive invitation and run with it, but allow everyone else to do the same. Because they are called to be them. They're not called to be you. So guess what? Some people want to dance when worship is played. Some people don't. So whether you do or whether you don't, allow the other ones to do or don't. Some people don't like to sing. So you can't expect them to sing just because we're in a song service and that's what's called worship. Because we are in a worship service where songs are a part of. So is preaching. And if you choose every week to turn off your ears at the moment that the pastor comes up, that is your choice. I have no power over that. It's just that way. And I'm okay with that. One time I wasn't. I still might throw something if you're sleeping. Because it would be fun. That's it. As pastor, I have to learn and embrace who I am and my exclusive calling up here. So that I can encourage and train you how to walk in your exclusive calling. But if I expect you to walk in my calling, we will never get anywhere. But if I teach you how to find your exclusive calling, then we can change this whole world. And so that's what I'm up here for. I'm here to equip the saints for the ministry. Now, at one time, when I preached that, that meant I'm up here to train you how to do the church stuff out there. But that is wrong. I'm here to train you how to walk in your calling as a child of God so that you can walk in your calling as you to your world. That actually is a lot of relief on my part. The reality of it all is that each of us is responsible for our own. This is where I really wanted to have the board up here, because the onus is on us. Write it down. It's really cool when you write it down, because the onus is O-N-U-S. on us is O-N-U-S. So the onus is on us. You guys, it's not that deep. It's just one of those amazing things. So I've already referred to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. I thought that it was in the message, but I already talked about it. That we may know the expectation, the hope of His exclusive invitation, His holy calling in our lives. And then what are the riches of the reputation, His glory of His inheritance in the saints? And that is that we reach the nations, which He is going to give us as our inheritance as long as we ask Him. Lord, save my neighbors. You've just asked Him for the nations. If you really follow after the Holy Spirit and follow your holy calling as who you are, you will have the inheritance of the saints, the nations, those neighbors, the family members, etc. So now let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10. Where's 2 Peter? I'm getting there. There we are. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and your election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. Be more diligent to make your invitation and your election sure. So when you look at this, it's like, okay, I have to make sure that my calling, which is my invitation, is sure. But what is this election thing? We've already talked about it a little bit. We look at this election and we're thinking, so I have to make sure that God's choice of me is correct. That's how I used to read this. I need to make my choice, my call, my invitation, sure, and His election of me, sure. That means I have to walk a certain way, I have to do a certain thing in order to do this. But we just read earlier that we have an election, a calling, a holy calling that has nothing to do with my works. So the call is the election from, or is the invitation from God, that's His choice of me. But the election is my choice of God. And so what I need to do is join my choice with His choice so that we can be walking surely. Do you understand that? Do you see what I'm saying? So then in verse 11 here, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We end up going into that everlasting kingdom when we recognize that our choice and His choice has lined up. The many are called, but few are chosen. Are you part of the few? Have you chosen Him? He's chosen you, but have you chosen Him? I'm seeing some nods, and I'm seeing a lot of people going, so I have a feeling, do we need to go over this? Do you want me to talk about my calling as me and your calling as you more? And it's just important. And I'm not saying that you need to change what you're doing. I'm saying choose to do whatever you do to His glory, but do it as you. Don't do it as me. I'm excited about the whole thing. Thirdly, this is really important. Mark this down and highlight it and recognize that it doesn't happen overnight. You do not all of a sudden get called and walk in your calling immediately. And sometimes we have the feeling that it does happen immediately, and then we feel dejected when it doesn't happen. But you don't have, it does not happen overnight. And I want you to take you into a story. I know we're going in a lot of scriptures, but you should know by now that when you come to church in Manning at Manning Family Worship Center and Pastor Corey is preaching, you're going to get a lot of scriptures. Acts chapter 9. That's where we're going to begin. Acts chapter 9 is this story about a man named Saul. And Saul is known as a persecutor of the church. In fact, two chapters earlier, he was involved in or as he was at least present at the stoning of Stephen. Stephen was the first martyr of the new walk of Christianity. And Stephen was crucified and was stoned, and that was 3.5 years after the crucifixion. So here we are 3.5 years after the crucifixion, and Stephen is stoned, and Saul is standing there, and these people are coming and laying their coats beside him. And you wonder at first when you see this in Acts chapter 7, well, what does that have to do with anything? There's this young man named Saul, and people are laying their coats there. It's to show you he was there and approved, and people saw him there and said, here, you look trustworthy. But then he got the zealousness of that act and started to go around and persecute Christians all over the place. Now, when you go two chapters later in Acts chapter 9, you have Saul walking along this road to Damascus, and he gets blinded by a light. And he falls off of his horse, his donkey, whatever it was, and he's on the ground, and he hears this voice that says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he says, Lord, who are you? He says, I am Jesus, the one that you are persecuting. Why are you kicking against what I am doing? And he all of a sudden realizes there is something going on here that's beyond me. And it says in the verses that are following here, it says that he ends up going to Damascus, I believe it was, and Ananias is a prophet, and he all of a sudden gets word from God, says, go over to the street called Straight, so it's Straight Street. Go over there, and there is this man named Saul, and I want you to anoint him. And Ananias steps back and says, what are you talking about? I am not going there, because that is the man who's persecuting the church. Now, how long do you think it was between the cloaks being laid at his feet and Saul being in Damascus waiting for Ananias? The answer is, we don't know. But I can tell you it was not the next day, because Ananias was scared to go see Saul because of what he had done. So this was a period of time later. And so Ananias ends up, says, Lord, why would I do this? Because he's the one that persecuted. And Saul, or God says to Ananias, he says, go anyways, because that man is called. He's been given a holy, exclusive invitation to be my apostle, to be the teacher of the Gentiles into the way of God and how to be children. Now, that's not exactly what it says there. He's a chosen vessel. It's an election. It's an invitation. Can I ask you this question? It says he was a chosen vessel. Could Paul have said no? So where is the choice? God chose Saul, later to be called Paul. But Paul had to choose. He had scales on his eyes. He was blind. And he was told that if you choose the right way, you will receive your sight. But he still had to choose. He had to choose to say, yes, I will follow that holy invitation, that exclusive invitation. So then we fast forward another two chapters to chapter 11. And verses 22 to 26 tell, we're not going to read it all. It tells that Barnabas left Antioch to go find Saul and bring him back to Antioch and teach him. but also that they would teach each other, teach the people the things of God. Paul had not been launched out yet as an apostle. Barnabas went and got him and had Paul participate in the invitation that Paul was given. So he was being trained what to do. And again, two chapters later, in Acts chapter 13, Paul and Barnabas are separated out. They are given their holy calling, holy being separated unto. And so here in Acts chapter 13, they're all of a sudden saying, I'm stepping into my calling, and the apostles in Jerusalem, or in wherever it was at this time, we'll have to go in that and find out, they are all of a sudden said, you are now apostles, and you're going to go to the whole world. Okay? Now, this will all make sense eventually. This is the part where I really wish I had the board up, but we don't. Acts chapter 14, the Lord was bearing it witness to the holy calling of Paul and Barnabas by multiple signs, wonders, supernatural intervention, etc., was happening. And they were shown to have this exclusive calling. But how long did it take? We read it, and it's only two chapters. Two chapters, two chapters, one chapter. And that would take you half an hour to read, maybe. But if you took out the extra chapters that weren't about Paul, maybe 15 minutes, 20 minutes to read it. The thing that I want to get to you is that, first of all, in our calling, someone believes in you. Ananias believed in Saul. Barnabas believed in Paul. Someone then all of a sudden brings you in. So Ananias brought him in, and it says that Ananias taught him, and Barnabas taught him. Someone teaches you, or I said that one. Someone then sends you out. So Ananias ended up sending out Saul, and Saul went out and preached. It says that he went to the synagogues almost immediately. But he wasn't the apostle yet, and he's still learning. But then later on, Barnabas and Saul get sent out. Most people, myself included, think that this was a very short period. We tend to read it and assume that it lined up in a couple of weeks. Wow, that's amazing. Look how fast God works. Why doesn't he work that fast in my life? Paul did not immediately become Apostle Paul. He was called to be an apostle, but he wasn't called, didn't walk in it till a few years later. So if I was to take you to Galatians chapter 1 and chapter 2, which you can go there and read it later. Galatians 1:18 says that he was converted, and then after 3 years, he went to Jerusalem to see Peter, and remained with him for 15 days. Now, if you read the same story in Acts chapter 9, verse 26 and following, it actually says that Paul went to Jerusalem to meet with the apostles, but he met them separately and in secret because people were afraid of him. And it says that the disciples did not accept Paul, because they were afraid of him, because they did not believe him and his calling. This is 3 years after his conversion that he went there to talk to Peter and James and the other apostles. And they said, we don't believe you, because this is what you used to do. But then you go to chapter 2, verse 1, of Galatians. And it says, after 14 years, there was a council in Jerusalem. It says that he went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with him. And there was a council that decided, you know what? It's a good thing for the Gentiles to have the gospel. This is 17 years after Saul was converted, which was a number of years after he was persecuting. So we're looking at 20 to 25 years from the time that Stephen was stoned to the time that Apostle Paul really took hold and started his missionary journeys. It blows the mind because we've always thought it just happens overnight. So on your calling, you could go through it like Paul did and map it out in one of your letters, the letter to the Manningites, the epistle of Jennifer. Why not? That's what Paul did. Do you think Paul thought that this was going to happen? He just wrote them letters. And this is what happened. Thanks be to God that it happened. It gives us all hope. Because I can tell you, I was not a persecutor of the church to this extent. And I doubt that anyone here was. You might have not liked the people. You might have said hateful things. But there's hope there for us because we weren't like that. It takes time to develop into your exclusive invitation, your holy calling. And guess what? Not everybody can learn from the same person. Some people have already turned me off today. I can feel it. I can feel that there's just been, and it's okay. I'm okay with that. We've gone a little long, but it's okay because not everybody learns from the same person. In fact, churches have long been teaching that people need to be under one pastor and that he's the only one that has the word of God and he's the only one that can tell us how to do things in this time. And then another pastor comes on in and we have to start all over again. That's not how it was meant. It was meant that each of us have disciples that we are teaching in the ways of God. We have a holy calling. Go and make disciples. Who was that for? Just the disciples? Or was that for all of us? So we have a holy calling for this. So we've been taught, and I'm guilty of this. I teach you how to operate under my calling. But then a new guy comes in, and there's a new calling. And then a new guy comes in, and there's a new calling. Thank God for all of those people who answered God's call to come here to Manning in all three churches and preach. And they were operating under their calling. But we're not supposed to operate on other people's callings. We're supposed to operate under our calling. I'm here to facilitate that. All of them were there to facilitate that. Each one of us has an exclusive invitation. Each one of us needs to be trained to identify and walk in our own holy calling. Not every person in a church is the pastor's sheep. That's a hard one. Because pastor means shepherd. Not every person within every church is that pastor's sheep. Why? Because it's not my job to teach everyone. It's my job to facilitate everyone. And so within your circle, there are people, and I might be that. I might be the one that's supposed to be your guidance. But Paul did not go to the church of Antioch and listen to a pastor preach. He went to Ananias. He went to Barnabas. And each one of us has people in our lives, and I might be included in that, that is there to teach you. And you can learn from hearing about what I do. But not everyone that calls this their home is necessarily a sheep of me. You might be a sheep of this church, which we have to facilitate, people there. That's why we have a Terrell. That's why we have an Ula. That's why we have all of you. What is your calling? It's to be you. It's to be you in your world. Guess what? Manning Family Worship Center is part of your world. So how are you fulfilling your calling in your world? Manning and surrounding areas are a part of your world. How are you fulfilling your calling as you in this world, in your world? We can't expect people to be exactly like you. We can't expect people to be exactly like me. So through it all, we can discover that you are called particularly to be you. So ask God to reveal who you are so you can be the best you to your world. Only you can be you to your world. The purpose of our walk with God is to discover this. And we do it through prayer times. We do it through our reading and our meditating on the Word. You can do it by hearing the proper teachings from multiple different locations and people and other things. And you do it through your fellowship with other believers. Because that's how we learn. We discover ourselves and help others to discover themselves. And then we reach our world and bring others to their exclusive invitation, their holy calling. As children of God, as light and salt to this world, you be you. Because that's what God wants. Father, thank you for your calling. Thank you for your invitation. And Lord, I pray that the clarity of the Spirit be there. I pray that we all have an endurance to run our race. We have the fortitude to walk in our calling. But we also learn to identify who we are in you and what you have called us to be. So help us to be us. Help us as individuals to be who we are called to be. And may you be praised in it all. And may we see, as children of God, the inheritance of the saints. May we see the inheritance of the nations. Why? Because we ask it of you. Thank you, Lord. Now may we all go in peace. May we all go in your grace, the leading of the Holy Spirit. May we walk in unity, and may we walk our walk according to our invitation. Amen. And amen.